it to the third chapter of John. And then if you would, if you all have a bulletin from today, I'd like to read the scripture on the front of today's bulletin. In the 25th Psalm, verses 1 through 5, we read, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." We just sang the song, "More About Jesus, Let Me Learn." More of his holy world, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. My title this morning is Taught of God. In Matthew 16, 17, you don't need to turn there, but our Lord said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Our Lord had just asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they gave him this name and that. And then he asked, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, and he said, "Thou art the Son of the living God." Well, flesh and blood could not reveal these things, for they are spiritual. And flesh is dead spiritually. We all died in the spirit when Adam sinned in the garden. He brought death upon all of creation by his rebellion against God. Therefore, all mankind come into this world dead in trespasses and sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are carnal, which means that we are lustful, we are licentious, we are physical, we are bodily, we have desires. We sin because that's what we are, and that's our nature. If you took a lion who will eat meat because that's his nature, and a deer who will eat grass because that's their nature, and if you try putting meat in the cage of the deer, it will recoil. Whereas a lion will just lay down on the grass that you put in his cage. But if you put meat in the cage of a lion, it will eat. And so on with the deer. You put grass in their cage, they will eat. The other day I was having a conversation about knowledge of Scripture and study of Scripture. Paul was a very, very learned man. And unfortunately, this person, Bill, the back door's swinging open through the wind. This person was all about Paul and neglected to take any into consideration of the rest of the disciples and the apostles. You see, most of the apostles were just fishermen. Or men who worked with their hands. They were just simple men. Yet Paul was different, wasn't he? Paul was a very learned man. His schooling in Old Testament scripture was right up there with the best. He was a Sanhedrin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, one of the most learned by men. He was zealous for the Lord, for the law of God. Yet in Philippians 3, he writes this. This is Paul speaking of that very thing that we just talked about. All that he had learned. In verses 4 through 8 of Philippians, he says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh," and he had all the confidence he needed as far as the Old Testament scripture was concerned. "If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised of the eighth day of the stock of Israel." Look at that. This is what I was at one time. I have all the pedigree to stand behind me, he says. "Of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee concerning the zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ, lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul himself tells us in his word, all that knowledge that I had of scriptures, all that stuff that I used to do meant nothing. And I'll leave the parents to describe what the word dung means. It meant that. It was worthless. It was stuff to be thrown away, buried. All the knowledge that he had gotten from reading the books and doing this. Think about this. How much do you think the Catholic Pope and the Catholic, whatever they are, bishops and all the other stuff, how much do you think they study? They probably study a lot, huh? A lot. They could memorize everything and tell you every word of the Bible. But yet they don't preach the gospel. No, instead they preach instead about how you need to pray to Mary, or pray to St. Peter, or pray to this person or that person. All the knowledge that they have. How much you want to bet Joel Osteen could just about quote any scripture you wanted him to? What is Zechariah 2:5.5? And I'll bet you he could do it. That's what he gets paid to do. But he has no idea what the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is. I've never heard him speak of it. Lance Heller was sharing with me one time when he was there at one of his meetings. You know, I can't remember why he said he was there. But he said that Joel Osteen guy, he was watching it on TV. He caught his eye. He says, well, who is this guy? What is this guy? And he listened to him. Not once did he mention anything about Christ. Not once in the 30 minutes that they did the interview on the TV. Not once did he mention about who Christ is, what he has done, and what he's doing right now. With all that knowledge that he has of studying in scriptures, all that he does, he had no knowledge of who Christ is. All that he, speaking of Paul, had learned over the years regarding scripture and the things it taught of God was but dung. You see, anyone can read scripture. Anyone can preach the word and come away with a mental knowledge of whatever their interpretation may be. And there's a lot of interpretations of what scripture is, isn't there? If you just took the Baptist alone, I'm telling you, you go back to, if you've never been to Kentucky or Tennessee, where they call the Bible Belt, there's a church on every corner and 90% of them are Baptists. And if you go into one, you'll hear something. You go into another, you'll hear something else. You go into another, you'll hear something else. They are completely different. They come away with a mental knowledge of whatever their interpretation may be. All the different interpretations, they are of God, that are of God's words, but to know Christ is to know the things of Christ. And to know the things of Christ, one must be taught of God. Man can only speak to one's mind. You may hear me with your ears, but do you hear me with your heart? Do you hear the word of God? Let me quote some scripture from the word of God. Romans 8:5. For they are after the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That means enemy. That means you can't understand it. We come into this world with a nature that cannot even understand the spiritual things of God in Scripture. For it is not subject to the law of God. That's why our world is in such shambles as it is. The law of God no longer exists in the world around us. That's why lies have become the truth. And anyone who's been watching the politics of this country lately know that lies have become the truth and the truth has become a lie. No, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The natural man can no wise perceive or understand, is what that word means, the kingdom of heaven. Well, dead men can't do anything, can they? Unless they're on TV, of course. All mankind, every man, every woman, every child is born spiritually dead. Every one of us fell in Adam. All sin, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Are you with me in the third chapter of John? Beginning at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. Interesting, he came by night. He was a ruler of the Jews. Couldn't go in open day. Christ went to all the different synagogues, did he not? He says, I went to the synagogue and preached here. I taught here. And here Nicodemus, a ruler, came by night. And said unto him, Rabbi, or teacher, as that word means, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot perceive the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There's the born again right there. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell which it cometh and whither it goeth. Well, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now turn over to the sixth chapter of the same book, if you would, please. Join me in verse 44. Chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come to me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. Now, what are the churches that have interpreted the scriptures to say that God loves everybody? God loves entire creation. He loves everything. He's just waiting for you to come to him, for you to walk down the aisle or to say a prayer or make a decision. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. That's the word of God, folks. That's God's word. That's not my interpretation of it. That's God's word. He's the one who says that. And he is truth. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father save he which is of the God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Our Savior, he who is life itself, he who is life itself, gives life to as many as the Father has given him. In the 17th chapter of John, you don't need to turn there, it says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. In other words, the Father has given the Son power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Folks, what I'm doing here is I'm eliminating anything that you might think you can do, especially when it comes to salvation. And I'm pointing you to the one who is salvation, the one who is able to save to the uttermost. Salvation is of the Lord and of the Lord alone. All glory belongs to Him and to Him alone. His name is Jesus, for He shall save His people. That's God's word also. Doesn't say He might, doesn't say He maybe, but He shall save His people. And the only way to know this is to be taught of God. To come to the knowledge of who Christ is, you must be born again. The natural man cannot understand the things of heaven, for they are spiritual things. So what exactly is it that God must teach us? Well, we've already spoken of the natural man and how the natural man is dead, totally depraved, completely bankrupt before a thrice holy God. We've already spoken of how men have nothing to offer God. Our Lord is so holy that He cannot even look upon the sin, the unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is an abomination to Him. That's a word that describes so powerfully what sin is to our Lord. It's an abomination. Something that you would throw up with force. Sin must be put away. And we come into this world condemned by what we are. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, three distinct persons, yes, yet of one mind and of one purpose. God the Father made a covenant, giving a particular people to the Son. God the Son ransomed His people by providing Himself a sacrifice, an offering for the sins of that people. The blood of God was shed upon that cross, as you sang in your song. He paid the price in full. His people are redeemed unto the Father. He who knew no sin was made sin, that we who are His people would be made righteous in Him and only in Him. I know that's hard to believe. We look at our own selves and we say, well, righteousness, there's no righteousness in me. You don't realize, do you realize that to look at yourself and really, really know that has to be something that the Lord has taught you? Because in our very nature, is it not that we've, look what I did. How often can we say, that's my son. See what my son did over here? He did such a good job. Look at what my wife does, isn't that so great? Look at what I've done today. I've fed the poor. Look how our pride, isn't that what pride is? Our Lord Jesus has saved us to the uttermost. The blood of God was shed upon that cross. That means it was perfect. No flaw. Completely righteous. Yet it paid the price for every one of His people. And it paid the price in full. One of my hardest things to understand is how can I be as white as my Savior? But that's what our Lord tells us. He says, I put away your sin. I remember it no more. This is the grace of our God to His people. This is the grace and mercy that we see, the love that He has for His people. It's not a little bitty love like us. I love my wife, but I make mistakes and mess up all the time. Christ never makes a mistake. It's always perfect. And if His love is for you, it's perfect for you. That's why saying that God is waiting for you to do something to accept His love makes it worthless. Yeah. It really does. Think about that. What they're saying is that Christ went to the cross and shed His blood for you to maybe come to Him. That makes His blood worthless, and that's not true at all. It's the blood of God. God, the Spirit is going about right now, this very moment, calling that people that were given to him, giving life, making alive, in other words, quickening, as the word says, as it is written in Ephesians 2, all for whom the Father hath given the Son. In John 10:27, you don't need to turn there. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. This is good news indeed, folks, especially if you see yourself as a sinner. Do you see your need of a Savior? We must be taught the things of God, and by God, only God can turn the hearts of men. If all you hear is the voice of the man standing before you, then you will miss the truths of Scripture. If you could memorize the entire Bible, you could not be saved unless God does a work in your heart. To God be the glory, you see. Great things he hath done. In Luke 10, verse 19, we read, "Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be any means hurt you, notwithstanding in the rejoice. Rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in the heaven." In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is, but the Father, and who the Father is, but the Son." And here's what I want you to see: and he to whom the Son will reveal him. We must be taught of God spiritual things. Now, look at chapter 24 of this same book. Just a few pages over to the right. Chapter 24, and let's begin reading at verse 13. "And behold, two of them," speaking of the disciples of God, "two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, about 7.5 miles. And they talked together of all these things, that which happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him." Interesting. They had just walked with him a few days ago before the crucifixion. They had just seen him preach and teach in the synagogues. They knew what he looked like. By supernatural power, he stood right next to him and they didn't even know who he was. "But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in the deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, a certain woman also of our company made us astonished which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came, saying, they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And a certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so, as the women had said. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. All the way from the first book in Genesis, all the way to the end of Revelation, it speaks of Christ. Yet if you read it without Christ, you will not know that. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, Genesis chapter 1, the writer of that book, beginning of Moses and all the prophets, he explained unto them in all the scriptures. What was he teaching them? What does God teach? The things concerning himself. Not the things concerning himself. We'll leave it at that. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made it as though he would have gone further. But they had constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, and he took bread, and he blessed it, and brake, and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Did these two men learn of God through studying the books? Through memorizing? No. Look back at verse 27 again. And at beginning of Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. God the Son expounded. He taught as only God can speak to the hearts of men. Look at verse 32. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? I was asked a question once. Well, how do you know if you're saved? How do you know? How do you know you're in the right place, doing the right thing? And I explained, I had come for a reason that was not of this church. Most of you have heard the story how I came here looking for my brother because I had problems in my life and I needed a shoulder to cry on. Yet as I sat in that pew and heard a man, nothing but a man who spoke the truth from God's word, my heart began to burn. And I didn't know what it meant. Many a days I went to the elders, Steve Doyle and Pastor Gene, and said, What in the world is going on? This is not John Reeves. I usually drink on Sunday. I usually watch football. But something kept drawing me back to this chair to hear him speak about this one. This one who is truly called God. This one who can only be called God. I needed to hear more about Jesus. I went through the trials that go through in the beginning where why would God have anything to do with me? I drink heavily, I smoke, I cuss, I'm a truck driver. That's what truck drivers do. And just so you know, I'm going to ask for your forgiveness now if it ever slips out. It's been a long, long life before that time. But I knew through the teaching of God's word what I really was. I knew what it was to need a Savior. I saw the truth that only God can show us, that only God can teach us. And my heart began to burn. I had to come back. I had to hear more about Jesus. I had to hear more about my Savior. There was a time when I was on the freeway going to Reading. I listened to the radio all day long, and there was a time when Harold Camping was a preacher of the truth before he went off on whatever the Lord led him to go off on, that craziness about the end times. And he was preaching about sin and how it affected the body and how it affected the mind. And then he brought me back around to who my Savior is and why he saved me and why he did what he did, going to the cross, shedding his blood for me. And I couldn't drive anymore. Had to stop. Being saved is not easy, folks. It's a tough thing to go through when the Lord starts calling you. But as you go along hearing more about who the Lord is and his love for you, you begin to realize he's in control of it all. All that stuff that I went through, all the things that I go through now, today, all the problems I have inside myself, the Lord still allows me to do. Like running from the Ninevites. That was allowed. There's a lot of stuff we could put in there, couldn't we? That the Lord allows us to do. So that we might learn who our Savior is. So we might learn that we need a Savior. Desperately. Desperately. What does your heart burn for today? Does it burn for football that's going to play in a little bit? Does it burn for golf? You know where my heart is in that area, don't you, Donna? Yes, you do. What does your heart burn for today? Does it burn for something to do? You know, some people, that's what it is. Some people, it burns just to go and do something for others. This is what my heart burns for, is I need to go help others. Help the poor. Give them stuff. Do this. Do that. Does it burn for something that the flesh will fulfill? Does it burn for works? If I do this, maybe I can get into heaven. Or does it burn for the grace of Christ? Is it more about Jesus? Or is it more about you? It can't be both. If I belong to Jesus, then he will teach me his way. And sometimes that teaching can be pretty painful. Consider what Jonah went through again. Consider the reeds that were wrapped around his throat, and he knew this. He knew he was inside of a fish dying. And he did die. Sometimes the teaching can be harsh, hurtful, of the flesh, boggling, misunderstanding. But if I belong to Jesus, then he will teach me to rest in him. If I belong to Jesus, then he will teach me to look to him. If I belong to Jesus, then he will teach me to trust in him. If I belong to Jesus, then nothing can separate me from the love that is in my Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. Oh, Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. What burns in your heart today, folks? I love to hear about Jesus. And I love to preach about it. And I thank you. I thank you all for allowing me that privilege to stand here and preach about my Savior. I just pray that he will make your heart burn for him as much as he makes my heart burn for him.